Thank you, worship team. Well, hope you guys are enjoying 2025 so far. You're still going strong on your New Year's resolutions, I'm sure. Anyways, so we have been studying Galatians. It's fun to get back into it. Today it's going to be, in a sense, somewhat of a review, but it should be, hopefully, it'll all make sense. But this morning I just want to start out in prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for Christ, for sending him, for just the incredible blessings we have in the person of Jesus. And Lord, we think of our freedom today because of him. And Lord, we are in awe of that. Lord, we just think of those here that are dealing with things and have circumstances and hardships on their minds, Lord. I just pray that you would help to give us clarity and help us to really enjoy and understand your word in a new way. Lord, we thank you for your spirit that indwells us to help us with these things. And Lord, we thank you for just this church and what you're accomplishing here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning, like I said, we're at a pivotal point in the book of Galatians. And I mean pivotal by, we're at a climactic moment in Galatians. And so I was thinking of it like this, how to illustrate, where we're at in Galatians 5:1 this morning. Have you ever taken a hike and stood on the peak of the mountain? So when you're standing on the peak of the mountain, you can look over the beauty of where you just came from, right? You can look back and see the beauty of what you hiked up to, but you can also look ahead and look forward and wonder about the trail in front of you, wonder about what is in front of you, what lies ahead, where you're going. And so today, Galatians 5:1 is picture yourself standing on the peak of a mountain, looking back over what Paul has just taught in the first four chapters, and then again looking ahead to where we're going. And so in this beauty of the mountain, as looking at it, is we see our freedom in Christ, and we see our freedom in Christ both as we look at where we've been in Galatians and as we look ahead. And so as we look at this verse, it's also considered the theme verse in Galatians. So let's read it together, Galatians 5:1. It says this, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." So as we stand on the peak of the mountain, we get to look back at how we got there, like I said, in the first four chapters of Galatians. And the beauty we now see as we look back is this, why we can live in the freedom we now have. So the beauty we look back as we look back in the first four chapters, why we can live in the freedom we now have. And then in chapters 5 and 6, we get to see and wonder where we are going, what God has in store for us in this way, how to live out this freedom practically in my life. So why we can enjoy the freedom, how to live out this freedom practically in my life, which we will see over the next few weeks. And we know that we can live it out through the Spirit of God in us, not by the works of the law. You're probably getting tired of the statement, not by the law, already. So this morning, as we look ahead and look back and review, like I was saying, but it's super important for us to understand and for the Galatians to understand why we can live in this freedom that we now have, why and how to live out our freedom, because that is not what the Judaizers have been saying. The Judaizers are telling the Galatians, in order to live out this freedom, you have to put yourself back under the law, back under slavery, back under Judaism. Okay, so that's why I titled the message, Staying Where Christ Put Me in the Place of Freedom, with three main points. So staying where Christ put me in the place of freedom by living as I am free, by continuing to stand in my freedom, and by not holding on to the yoke of slavery. So let's start with point one here. By living as I am free. Again, it says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So Christ set you free so you can be free, so stay free. So think of it like that. So Christ set you free so you can be free, so stay free. Would you say that most of us as Christians struggle in our relationship with God to live in the place of freedom? I would say yes, we do. I think most of us as Christians struggle to live in the place of freedom that Christ has made us free. Both in our standing before God, remembering and realizing our justification that God has declared us righteous in his sight, and in living out our Christian life and our sanctification, that we remain free and focused on a life of faith through the Spirit. So in a sense, Paul is telling the Galatians this, by this statement. Hey guys, don't you realize that it is for freedom, not slavery to the law, that being set free should lead you to? So freedom should lead you to more freedom, in a sense. So you'll see what's going on in Galatia is that Christians who are already fully accepted by God, fully justified by faith, are being told by the Judaizers to do. Do and God will like you better. Do and God will accept you more. Be circumcised. Follow the law. Follow the customs of Judaism is what they're saying. And let me ask you this. Has that thought ever crossed your mind? Maybe God would like me more, would accept me more if I do certain things? And so I think it has probably. If that thought has crossed your mind, like the Galatians are being told here, then maybe we're not understanding our freedom that we have in Christ, right? So Paul is saying to stay free, live in your new identity as free, not having to do more than what Christ has already done. Like I said in these verses, it's like looking at the top of the mountain there and seeing, why can I live in the freedom that I now have? Why can I live in the freedom that I now have? Apart from keeping the law, and it starts with salvation, doesn't it? It starts with our salvation. So Paul explains in Galatians here in the first four chapters that salvation or our justification is by faith alone, through Christ alone. And according to Galatians 2:16, man is not, cannot, and will never be justified by the works of the law, but by faith through Christ. So Paul explains that the true sons of Abraham are through the promise, not circumcision and keeping the law. He says this in Galatians 3:8, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by the law? No, by faith. The scripture saying that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying all the nations will be blessed in you. So the whole idea of the Abrahamic blessing is that the Gentiles would be justified, and be justified how? By faith. So in this as well, in Galatians 3:14, that Christ became a curse for us in order that it says in order that in Christ, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So what's the blessing of Abraham here? So that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. And so in our freedom, we see our salvation, that's a piece of it. In order for us to stay free and live free is to understand this. He then answers a question as we go on in the book in 3:19, so what about the law? The law was inferior to the promise. And again, we've studied all these things, but like I said, a bit of reminder. The law was inferior to the promise because it came after the promise had already been ratified. The law was also inferior because it was through a mediator and given by angels, not from God himself, as the promise was. The law was given to reveal sin in the light of a holy God. As Joe talked about, it was a mirror to reveal our sin before us, to help us see our need for a Savior in Christ. The law is complementary to the promise. It's not in opposition to the promise because it came alongside the promise. An example of this, I don't know if you guys remember Apollo 13, the guys that their desire was, the attempt was to land on the moon. And Neil Armstrong, if you know anything about the Apollo 13, the little space capsule, whatever they called it there, when the Saturn V rocket broke off from the capsule, I don't think Neil Armstrong looked back and said, well, what's that thing for? He understood that in order to accomplish the mission, part of accomplishing the mission of God's salvation purpose was the law. Just like the Saturn V rocket was part of the mission to accomplish them getting to the moon. So it was very important, the law, but in this case, at this time, it was Christ had come. It had done its purpose. It had accomplished its mission. So the law was never intended and never could bring justification and life, but only a curse, condemnation and judgment, because every man stands guilty by the law. The law kept in custody and prison those under it until Christ came, and still today imprisons those who do not know Christ. The law was a tutor or a paedagogos, as we talked about, until Christ came, for the purpose of that we could be justified by faith, the purpose not to remain under the law. So it was a disciplinarian. It helped us understand our need for a Savior. The law was a guardian until full sonship by faith came through Christ. But when the fullness of time came, in Galatians 4:4 and 5, it says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And so the reasons for the law, Paul is making clear. The reason that it was important is clear. However, that is not how we're justified. The law is not how we live out our freedom in Christ. So now as believers, we are full heirs of the promise. We are sons and daughters of God with full rights and privileges. We are no longer enslaved by the law, no longer under the law. In fact, the law can no longer lay claim to you or have jurisdiction over you. Why? Because Jesus took your condemnation and the curse of the law on himself on the cross. You are forever free by the curse and condemnation of the law. In Galatians 4:9, Paul asks the question, why are you living contrary to what you are, a free son or daughter, no longer under the jurisdiction and condemnation of the law? For you Galatians to now choose to live under the law is no different than when you were enslaved to the elemental things in paganism, he's saying. In Galatians 4:11, Paul states, I fear that perhaps I've labored over you in vain because you are turning back to the law. And so the Galatians clearly were not staying free. So last week, in Galatians 4:12, I talked about how Paul gives him a call to action by pouring out his heart from 4:12 to 20. And he says, I beg you, brethren, become as I am. Become free. Live as I am. So in the context, it is clear that Paul is referring to him living in freedom. And I read this quote. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says this regarding Paul, who was a man who understood the importance of living in freedom. It says this, it may seem remarkable that Paul, who was one of the strictest of Pharisees, should become the most ardent champion of the doctrine of salvation by grace and justification by faith. Did not the Lord show great wisdom in selecting as the chief advocate of this truth a man who knew the other side, who had wrought diligently under the law, who had practiced every ceremony, who was a Hebrew of Hebrews and had profited above many under the Jews' religion. Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of the fathers, he would know right well the bondage of the old system, and having felt its iron enter into his soul, he would the more highly prize the liberty wherewith Christ makes men free. The Lord therefore sent this mighty man of valor, this Saul of the Benjamite, head and shoulders taller than his fellows, of sound heart and decided purpose and devout spirit, to wage war with the adversaries of free grace. And so I think that fits so well. Like, this man that God picked to write these words down understood the bondage and slavery that the law brought. He understood that well. So Paul's final example of contrasting slavery to the law and freedom in Christ are found in 4:21 through 31, which Pastor Joe went over a couple of weeks ago. And if I were to try to summarize it, I'd try to do it in these two points here. We Christians or Galatian believers are represented by Isaac. We are the children of promise through the free woman Sarah, by faith in Christ, born as the true sons, a miracle birth. Just like Isaac was, a miracle birth, born because of God's promise, right? Born because of God's promise, born into freedom as citizens of the New Jerusalem in heaven. That's who we are as believers. That's the freedom that we understand. So here we have the true children of promise. The Galatian believers are being persecuted by the slave children, the Judaizers. And that's what Paul's pointing out here. And you know what? Most of Paul's persecution, most of the persecution that Paul suffered was under the Jews, was under the Judaizers persecuting him this way. So Paul is saying the Judaizers are represented by Ishmael. The Judaizers here, these false teachers in the book of Galatians, are represented by Ishmael. They're born of a slave woman, Hagar, born of the flesh in their attempt to keep the law. A slave mom can only produce slave children. Therefore, the law and Judaism can only produce more slave children because they are of the flesh. They are man's attempt to reach God. And then as we go on, what did God tell Abraham to do with Ishmael and Hagar? He said to cast out the slave woman and her child. And he said this, so I believe Paul in a way is hinting at to the Galatian churches here. Hey guys, what should you do with the Judaizers? What should you do with these guys that are telling you to go back into bondage under the law to miss out on the freedom you have in Christ? And so I think Paul was saying, hey, cast these guys out. Send them packing. Send them down the road because they are actually the false children, the slave kids from the flesh. So Paul had taken the time through these chapters and especially through the last example to paint a very clear contrast between slavery to the law, by man's attempts or by the flesh, and freedom we have in Christ by faith, by God's promise. He concluded in 4:31, and it says this into 5:1. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And so that's where we're at this point. So clearly we are privileged to live in the freedom we have because of Christ by faith. When we start thinking, I have to do so that God will better accept me or like me more, then we are not living as free, as his sons, as his daughters. We are not living in fully appreciating that Christ has taken our sins upon himself. Instead, we are forgetting where we stand, just like the Galatians had been doing, which brings us to the next point. Staying where Christ put me in the place of freedom by continuing to stand in my freedom. So again, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, it says. and do not be subject again with the yoke of slavery. Keep standing firm. Literally, this means take a stand and keep on standing. Paul is saying to the Galatians, keep standing firm in your freedom. Do not submit yourself to slavery again. Remember where it says in your freedom, as you stand in your freedom, remember who put you there. Remember why you're able to stand in your freedom, and it is because of Christ. And so Paul, I'm going to go and list a few things that Paul wrote to the Galatians, all from the book here, remembering to stand in their freedom. Remember that you had died to the law. Your life is now in Christ. Remember that you are the spiritual son of Abraham. Remember you are justified by faith. Remember you are blessed with Abraham. Remember you are redeemed from the curse of the law, and as a redeemed one, Jesus paid the price to set you and I, the slave, free from the curse of the law. Jesus is our liberator by overpowering sin, death, and Satan to take those who were enslaved and buy them back into a right relationship with him. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 57, it says this, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is no more sting. There is no more death because Christ conquered death. He conquered sin. And this is what, in order for us to stand in our freedom, to be reminded of what Christ has done for us. So back to the Galatians. You have received the Spirit of promise. You are a son and daughter of God. You have been placed into Christ. You are clothed with Christ. You are heirs according to the promise of God. You are privileged to call God Abba Father. That's where we stand. That's what we need to remember. And that's what Paul is trying to get the Galatians to remember. Guys, remember what I've told you. Remember that where you stand in freedom because of Christ. And who accomplished all this for you? It's Jesus. We know that. In John 8, 34 and 36, it says this regarding Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And that's where we were before Christ. That's where the Galatians were before Christ. In verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house or does not remain in the family forever. The son does remain forever. A son will always be guaranteed a place in the family. And this is what Jesus says. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So who made us free? Who paid for this freedom that we have, that we stand in? The Son himself, Jesus himself. It says, if the Son made you free, you will be free indeed. Continue to stand in your freedom. Guard your freedom by remembering all that Jesus has done for you. And again, this is just in the book of Galatians. This is just a reminder to the Galatians. Guys, remember what Jesus has done. Remember the freedom you can stand in because of him. So our last point is staying where Christ put me in the place of freedom is by not holding on to the yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. It means you could also translate, do not be entangled again, as in a braided, as in like you're braiding a rope. Do not be entangled by this. And I don't know about you guys, but when it comes to, I have a story here, when it comes to fishing, I have problems with entanglement, just to illustrate this. And so I'm not a great fisherman, as I caught one big fish once and I bragged about it here. But In regards to this, trying to think through what does it mean to be entangled again with the yoke of slavery. So my sons, they like to take advantage of old Pop sometimes, I think. And my son had this fishing pole. I don't know if you guys know what a bait caster is. It's a kind of reel. And my son was like, hey, I'll trade you my fishing pole for your nice jet boil. If you know what a jet boil is, it's a camping, piece of camping equipment. And so I could tell, I should have known the gleam in his eye, he's trying to rip me off. And so he sells me this fishing pole, this bait caster. And I thought, oh, it's really nice. It looks nice. So I took it, first time I took it out, it didn't even have string on it. So I had to put string on it, get it all set up. And I go to cast this thing and the lure goes over here. And I'm like, first I'm like, okay, what's going on here? So I'm casting it that way and over here, I almost hit my wife. And then so I found this knob on the side, I could loosen the reel. So I cast this thing and I look down and all I could see is my line unspooling in front of my eyes. And it got tangled. And that was my point of entanglement, but it got all tangled up. And so when you think of this idea of not being subject again with a yoke of slavery, it's don't get entangled in this yoke of slavery again, is Paul's plea to the Galatians and Paul's plea to us. Because we all know what it's like to have a tangled fishing line, isn't it? It's a pain. It doesn't work out. Things don't work right. And so that's what that word means, entangled. Don't get entangled again. Don't be subject again to this yoke. And so 3 points here regarding not being entangled into the yoke of slavery. One is don't hold on to the yoke of slavery by considering your past. Like consider where you came from. Consider your past, Galatians here, and for us as well. The Galatians knew all too well what it was like to be entangled or tangled up with the yoke of slavery. Because they, before Christ, according to Galatians 4:9, they had been entangled with the weak and worthless elemental things from their paganism. They were pagans. They were worshiping false gods. They were entangled by that yoke of slavery, their paganism. And if you go and talk to any people group that have come to Christ, they would tell you we were entangled by the slavery of what we believed prior. And Paul's saying, don't get entangled again. Paul is saying, don't get caught up or entangled again. But this time, instead of paganism, you're getting entangled by Judaism. You're getting entangled by the law, trying to rob you of your freedom in Christ. So Christ has freed us. In a sense, it's like this, another illustration. It is as if he opened the door to the jail cell. In our freedom, that Christ has opened the door to a jail cell. We are no longer imprisoned or enslaved by sin. We're free. Paul is saying, you hold on to this yoke of slavery, the Jewish law. It is as if you're walking right back into the jail cell. If you hold on to this slavery, you're like sitting in the jail cell, although the door is wide open. Peter says this about going back to Judaism, in Acts 15, 10 and 11. It says, now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through grace of the Lord Jesus. It is the same way as they are also. So as I think about this, what yoke of slavery are you entangled in or tangled up in? What yoke of slavery are you entangled in or tangled up in? As believers, we are free. Are we living in our freedom? Christ conquered all the yokes of slavery we're under, right? Sin, he paid it on the cross. Death, he rose from the dead, conquering death. The law, he fulfilled the law. The world, he has overcome the world. And the devil, it says, every knee will bow in Philippians, and every tongue will confess, even the devil himself, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? So he has conquered everything. We are free in him. Since we through him are free from all these things, let me ask you this. What yokes of enslavement are we carrying? What prison cells are we sitting in with the door wide open to freedom? Is it fear? Is it lust? Is it envy? Comparing? Anger? Resentment? Unforgiveness? Control? Doubt? I could go on. So all these things, are these things, even though we're free in Christ, are we as if we're in a jail cell with the door wide open to freedom? So don't hold on to a yoke of slavery, but hold on to the yoke of freedom. Don't hold on to a yoke of slavery, but hold on to the yoke of freedom. And where do you think we find this yoke? Again, in the Jewish law? Is that where we find this? The answer to these things that we struggle with in life? Is that where Paul's telling the Galatians, hey, to live out your life, go back to the law? No, it's the exact opposite, right? It is not the law. It is not self-effort. We look to who? We look to Jesus. We look to him by faith. Colossians 2:6, it says, just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We receive Christ by faith. Right? We received him by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. So as free men and women, as believers, as Christians, free from all that Christ has set us free from, the world, sin, the law, am I living in that freedom? Or am I being entangled again with these things that want to control my life, that want to enslave me? So by looking to Jesus, right? In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So all yokes but one lead to slavery. All yokes but one lead to slavery. As we carry these yokes that I described above, we are weary and heavy laden, aren't we? These things weigh us down, even though we're free. Jesus, by saying, for I am gentle and humble in heart, is saying, I am here for you in your fear, in your doubt, in your lust, in your resentment. Whatever it may be, open up to me. Give it to me. Bring it to me, because in me, there is freedom. I have conquered these things. There is freedom in me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And learn from me how? For I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is, the better translation there, my yoke is kind. And my burden is light. Jesus wants you to find rest as much as you do. Jesus wants you to find rest from these things that entangle you, that rob you of your freedom in Christ as much as you do. Jesus wants you to see that rest is found in him by faith, not in carrying your own burdens for your own yoke of enslavement, as the Galatians were doing or being talked back into. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is kind, Jesus is saying, and my burden is light. Jesus' yoke is not one of slavery. It's a helium balloon. They should make a helium balloon. You can go to the dollar store and maybe get that, a helium balloon yoke. I'm not sure. But Jesus' yoke is a helium balloon. It's light. It's a yoke of freedom. The burden is lifted because he is walking with you. He has brought freedom to our lives. And so as we put all this together, as we think about all that God has done, all the freedom we have, as we look back, we can live in the freedom we have now because of Christ. He has done it all. He has accomplished it all. He has paved the way. We have, in 2 Peter 1:3, it says God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's giving us everything we need to enjoy our freedom in Christ. And so let's stand firm in it. Let's live in it. Let's not be give in to or be entangled by a yoke of slavery, things that entangle us. So from that view of this incredible view up on the mountain, looking over in Galatians 5:1 here, what an incredible picture of all that Christ has done for us. So now as we look ahead in the next few chapters, 5 and 6, I have to ask myself, based on all that Christ has done for me, based on all that he has provided me with, based on all that I have because of Christ, my standing before God, my justification, my freedom, my ability to live a godly life, why in the world would I choose anything but to live for him? To live out this life of incredible freedom that I have been placed in through Christ. And so as we think about, again, the Galatians, what we're studying, what we're going to be looking in, it speaks to how to live and why I should live my life for Christ, but in the context of, in relationship to God and the freedom that I get to enjoy, that we get to enjoy. And oftentimes, in order for me to enjoy freedom, I have to include other believers in Christ. If I am entangled by things in my life, I have to let others in. I have to allow that light burden that Christ carries to be partly that other believers carry as well. And Paul will talk about that somewhat in chapter 6 as we get to that. And so again, let's enjoy our freedom. Let's stand in our freedom. Let's live in the freedom that Christ has given us. So let me pray. The worship team can come up. Lord, we just thank you for your freedom. We thank you for your word, even this one book that describes so much of the incredible privilege we have to walk with you, to live for you. And Lord, I just pray that we'll remember the things you've done for us, that we'll live in those things, and Lord, that we'll be motivated to live out our lives for you, Lord. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.